Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. Our scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 5. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I have started the cold season early, so if I have to take a break and blow my nose or cough, just ignore it. And you feel free to do the same. Anybody had the pleasure this week of untangling Christmas lights, maybe? Detangling, as I called it a lot of things this week. I'll just tell you that right now, right up front. True confession. But detangling is the word that I came up with. And yeah, I devoted an hour plus of my life on Thursday afternoon to detangling. Amazon said it was 600 feet. I think it was 600 miles of white lights for outside. That, I don't know. Somebody in China, I don't know how they wrap things in China, but when you try to unwrap them in the U.S., it just doesn't work, particularly with my nimble little hands. So somehow that figures into today's message. I think I just wanted to vent and share that with you all, really. one week from today, we'll be starting an exciting journey here at Broadway United Methodist Church. But as a fellow member, your lay leader, and a member of the council, I'd like to thank each of you for hanging in there over the last five. It has been 5 months that we have not had a pastor in this church, a full-time pastor in this church. But for hanging in there over the last 5 months as we've waited for God to send us a full-time pastor. And he has done just that, and I know we are all very excited. Thank you for not giving up on this church, and I promise that this church will never give up on you. As we begin this new chapter with Pastor Michael, there will no doubt be some pushback somewhere. The community, our neighbors, our friends, maybe even from within. In fact, there were already a few comments on Facebook as we made our initial announcement. We and our faith will no doubt be tested as we travel this road. I can tell you we have complete and total support from the Missouri Conference with everyone praying for us and supporting us. But you and I are the ones on the front line. So I thought it might be valuable to revisit this morning what Jesus tells us about loving our neighbor and even our enemies, as difficult as that sometimes may be. That is what he expects of us, and there's no better way to disarm an enemy than to love them. So think for a moment of a man in his early 30s standing on a hillside and preaching a sermon to his disciples. Kind of like I'm doing now, except I'm not exactly my early 30s, okay? I was. Standing on a hillside and preaching a sermon to his disciples. But just about halfway through this sermon, he utters a sentence that literally rattles the entire world. This sentence was so powerful and called for an ethic so high and so far above what any other religion ever taught that it has kept the attention of the world and amazed humanity for some 2,000 years. Nicole read it before in Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Say what? Love my enemies? Really? And then pray for those that are against me? Get serious. That is a shock and a jolt to our world because this type of love runs so counter to our very nature. Man's love is based mainly on selfishness. Put yourself first, then worry about loving others. But putting yourself first and then loving others runs into a brick wall when someone slaps you on the cheek. Jesus calls for a kind of love that requires setting self aside. This kind of love is so difficult in our world, and at first glance, it seems impossible for us. I mean, how do you obey a command like that? And what about this term enemy, anyway? In our vernacular, in our world, enemy is a pretty strong word, but in the context in which Jesus was speaking, let's make sure we know what Jesus means by the word enemy. Jesus defines that word here with a very wide range, as usual in the Bible. Everything from those who are persecuting us to those we do not even feel like necessarily greeting. If someone shoots you in the head, that's an enemy. That's pretty clear. But you see someone coming toward you and you don't really feel like smiling at them or giving them a warm, happy greeting, that could be an enemy as well. And everything in between. But here's the thing. It is anybody with whom we have had any kind of hard relations. It might be someone close who has hurt us, or it might be someone we never met. There are Democrats who cannot even say the name Donald Trump without clenching their teeth, especially right now. And Republicans would throw a party and dance up and down if President Biden fell into a bottomless pit somewhere. But if we're going to obey Christ, we had better learn to love Donald and Joe both. How many times as humans do we know what is right, but yet we do what is wrong? Paul, in his letter to the Romans, made it clear that he struggled with this very same issue. Jesus always made sure to tell a story to get his point across. He was the greatest teacher that ever lived. With all due respect to our teachers here in this congregation that we love. It's kind of like when you or I buy something that involves some assembly required, which is, of course, most things these days. We've read and understood all the directions and have everything in place. The parts are ready. The tools are ready. And we are psyched up about the task and to get our new trinket put together. But what if we choose to do it our own way and ignore the instructions? The likelihood that the product will look like the picture on the box is highly unlikely. I've taken on tasks in the past with my deep and abiding patience, right, Nicole and Amanda, that I'm blessed with. I paid them to shake their head yes, and it didn't work. I didn't pay them enough. They know me. They won't lie in church. We taught them that lesson. I have taken on tasks in the past and thought I knew a better way to complete them. The process usually caused a lot of frustration, colorful language, and parts of the task having to be redone. Another example we all can relate to is how many times have we tried to outguess Google Maps, thinking we know a better way or a shorter way, and we end up arriving late or in a traffic jam. We know what Jesus commanded us to do, but yet we choose to do it our own way. So here's four steps to help us forgive and better love our neighbor and to keep in mind as we go forward at Broadway United Methodist. First, Jesus said, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The first step, then, is loving God. Loving God has to be at the center, because without God, there is no love. There are actually three parts that we should devote to loving: our heart, our soul, and our mind. Most of us can love with our heart, and if we are really happy in our marriage or relationships, we know how to love with our soul. A lot of us like to love with our mouth. Our mouth can say, I love you, and our heart is looking off in another direction, while our soul is wondering if this will fulfill our obligation. And our mind is saying, yeah, right. There's a lot of confusion going on. It's difficult to get all three to work together, but as followers of Christ, we need to love God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. The second, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The question is, how do we love our neighbor? The answer is, as we love ourselves. Step two, then, is to love ourselves, because we can't really love anyone else until we love ourselves. The key to loving yourself is in the way you choose to love God. If we know that we love God, and we know that our salvation comes from God and not our selfish motives, or if we realize we are made perfect through the love that God showed us, and the sacrifice that he made for us, then we can begin to love ourselves in a way that is not considered selfish. If we learn to love ourselves, only then can we start to love our neighbors and our enemies. In the third step, we have come to love those around us, our neighbors. And have you ever had a friend that you could tell all to and not worry about what would happen to your relationship with that person? We can have friends that love us back, and that makes it easy to love them. What about those people that we are commanded to love because they are our neighbors? And what about the ones that say to us, don't give us any of that Jesus stuff, or that ridicule us for going to church on Sunday, or even criticize us for whom we welcome into our church? How do we love them? The real question for step three is, how can we not? When Jesus died, he died for the sins of the world, for everyone's sins, not just your sins and my sins, but for the sins of the entire world. All sin has been paid for. The debt is erased. Therefore, every person in the world has the opportunity to become children of God. None of them will be perfect except through the blood. People are different. And after all, if everyone were exactly the same, how boring would this world be? We are molded, each one, by the hand of God. Each one of us is special to God. And everybody is special in their own unique and specific way. So if we pick and choose who we will love and who we will not, we are putting our selfishness before our love for God. And step four, I would suggest Wesley's sage advice and direction to all of us Methodists. Do no harm, do no good, stay in love with God. And by doing so, we can love our neighbors, friends, family, and yes, even our enemies. So, in closing, I'd like to talk about branding. Ag teacher. Which gives me a chance to talk about cattle. For those of you that worried that I might leave my favorite topic out of today's message. So in the early days of ranching, cattle were often mixed together and joined together on pastures to take advantage of lush grass for multiple ranches. Or because they were intermingled and commingled, or because they just got through the fence, and that still happens today, and they got mingled with their neighbor's cattle. And at some point, the cattle would be rounded up and separated by their owners. The only way to determine ownership was by the brand on the side of the cattle, which was unique to each ranch, and that's why they did it. For those of you that are interested, today we no longer brand. We use ear tags and microchips to identify animals, because it's easier than branding, and it preserves the value of the hide because the brand needed to be cut out of the hide prior to preparing the leather. Assuming that you don't want a purse with some ranch's brand on it, or a pair of shoes, or a pair of gloves. At our last council meeting, Jake informed us that our marquee out front was showing its age, and the font of the letters was too small to read and very faded. And that got me to thinking about one of my favorite things about Broadway United Methodist Church, and that being the words out front that proclaim, "All are welcome." I love those words because they say in such a simple fashion what we are really all about in this church. It occurred to me that those letters have been up there so long that even if we took them down today, the background is so faded, it would still be there. It would still say, "All are welcome." So folks, Broadway United Methodist Church is branded just like those cattle I mentioned. And that's a good thing. We're branded as a place where all are welcome and always will be. With the guidance of the Almighty, this will be an exciting journey for this church. Please pray with me. Send your spirit, dear Lord, to move upon our hearts and to motivate us to show loving kindness towards those who may not agree with us. As Jesus said on the cross, help us to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Thank you, Lord, for the comfort of knowing blessing comes through forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. Help us to follow your example in praying, doing good, doing no harm, loving you, and sacrificing for our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen.